for you. For those who don't know me, my name is Pastor Aaron Burke. I have the privilege to serve as one of the pastors here at Faith Church and on our counseling team that serves also in our community on Mondays where we provide counseling as well. And I'm thankful, you know, especially for the first day of the conference. We hope to finish strong today. But first, I want to just sort of provide a little bit of important context for this session, counseling caregivers, and I hope that it'll be somewhat of an encouragement to you as well. Some of the context first is you'll often not have the opportunity to usually counsel caretakers many times directly in a more formal or structured setting. We've had a few in the case of coming through our counseling ministry on Mondays, but to be thinking especially about the context of this group to minister to, I think often will come through a more structured opportunities just in the church. It might be a small group or a family ministry opportunity. It might be just a visitation with a church family where concerns are brought up, and that's going to really lead to the counseling opportunity. The point being is many times caretakers, just because of the practical realities of their life as they're ministering to family or other concerns, just may not be able to make and be able to do what are the normal counseling ministries of your church. And so a part of this session was just to even begin to think about your ministry to those who might fall into this role who would really benefit from counsel, and yet they might be the least people to really reach out to you for help because they already feel overwhelmed and they just don't know practically how this is going to be a reality in their life. And so part of my goal is just sort of thinking about what is your church going to do to communicate and to sort of plan opportunities to be able to meet those who might fall into this role in your church. And so in my personal experience, again, it's not like I've had a lot of opportunities through our Monday counseling for the community where it's been ever caretakers who are coming for counseling. And instead, a lot of these become issues as you become more involved in just meeting them in their home or as problems really surface in the family. So caring for a loved one might create specific challenges that make, again, normal counseling opportunities difficult. So think about access, think about availability of how are you going to communicate and be available to consider how your counseling resources might be able to minister to these things. So that's the first goal is I want you to just think about context, think about communication. Second, think about a few reasons why I think this topic is especially important to consider as counselors. First, for example, the largest retiring age group in U.S. history. We are in it. And so the reality is, as many of those that you are maybe entering in that phase of your life, and you may find yourself to be somebody caretaken for. Also, the reality is many of in our church family have loved ones who are now entering this phase, and this is sort of what their new role that they're taking on. So it could be those retiring and caring for loved ones in that way. It could be also just think of broadly caretakers and caregivers could be those could be even young families who might have special needs children. And that could be one category of this. It could be just an adult who's ministering to their spouse who now is taking on this role as a caregiver or caretaker. It could be, again, a young family that's helping a middle-aged parent or somebody who was in an accident now is in a certain type of position where they need somebody to provide regular assistance and care for them. And the list could go on. But then I want to even think about they're people in your church who may serve as part of their vocation and really a caretaker type of profession and role, and to even be thinking of those who might be in the medical community or in hospice type of ministry who also may really benefit from this type of care and counsel to be thinking about in your local church setting. And so simply put, as I think we broaden our view of caregivers, we begin to see there's actually a lot of people who might fall into this role in my church family who would really benefit and may be going through some challenges as they've taken on a new role in life. And so consider again the wide variety of folks in your local church, and also consider how are you going to make resources available to them, especially understanding that they might have some certain limitations just from a caretaker's perspective that make maybe the normal structured opportunities for counseling very difficult for them. So that was, you know, just some of the background I want us to think about. Then personally, why I wanted to write this session was just from our own family's experience. You know, many times, for example, when you begin to be placed in a caretaker role, I think you have a unique opportunity to glimpse ways of suffering that you may not be as aware of. And so that's one aspect of this that I've seen God work in my life and my wife's life as well. So when we, for example, went through finding out one of our children had some severe special needs, that was really a time in our life where we begin to sort of become aware of a whole different group of people in the church who have gone through similar suffering. And a lot of times you're aware that there's these sort of special suffering clubs out there, and you don't really many times even know about all these people until you start experiencing certain suffering and challenges as well. And they have a way of reaching out to you as they sort of find out what you're going through. And so, for example, you may have individuals in your church family, right, who recently get a cancer diagnosis. And then it's like all of a sudden the people who have gone through the cancer journey want to reach out to those people and minister to them because they know the challenges that are involved. Or similarly, a loved one that you might know of has a miscarriage, and again, all of a sudden there's a group that's reaching out when they find out that you're going through that trial. And my wife and I found that out as we started to deal with the blessing but also the challenges of caring for our youngest son with severe special needs, that found out, wow, there is a great community here in the body of Christ that can really minister to us as well. And so as counselors, we want to be thinking about how we can bring them into the picture. And so for my wife and I, when we found out our youngest child who had severe special needs, he's epileptic, he's nonverbal, he cannot walk, you know, it began to really sort of reshape sort of expectations and values in our life. And so part of this lesson is really to sort of draw out some things I've learned about my own heart and sort of counseling my own heart, my wife's heart. And then also as we've sought to now become aware of all these other individuals who have similar needs that our special son has, and being able to minister to them with the hope of the gospel has been a great encouragement. And so consider again the context, consider the specific ways that you might communicate your counseling needs, and then think about how especially we can involve the church family into coming alongside caretakers. And so one of the first steps I want us to consider especially is to seek to learn about their grief and lament with them. And so this is, again, I don't want to repeat, we had an excellent pre-conference, so I'm not going to provide an extensive discussion on lament, but I would encourage you, if you have not yet looked at, we did a pre-conference by Mark Vogop specifically on this topic of lament, but I want to just touch on a few things that I found to be really, really helpful for our own grief and our own lament that I think might be helpful too as you counsel those who are in a caregiving role. You know, think of like Job 2:11 through 13. When we think of Job's three friends, not a lot of great counsel that they first gave. But one of the parts that I really love about this part is it emphasizes that they made an appointment to come and to grieve with him. And so it says they made an appointment together to come. And then it goes on to say to sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance, they did not recognize him. They raised their voices and they wept, and each one of them tore his robes, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word, for they saw that his pain was very great. And so for those who might be going through difficult suffering, it's just so important for us to really sit and listen and to understand just, what life is like day in and day out for them. And it gives you a window into their heart to be able then to, I think, provide great hope and counsel in order to encourage them. And I'm thankful, again, we can go to a great Savior he's gone through great sufferings. He's a man of sorrow. He's well acquainted with these griefs. But especially for those who's going through a caregiver role, many times they're thrusted into this position and they weren't thinking about it. They weren't wanting it. They weren't seeking it out. And with it then comes a lot of sadness and a lot of grief. Again, when I think of sort of our journey, when we first found out and started becoming more aware of what the implications were for our son and the impact that would have on his life, and then not only that, but then on our lives practically, it just really was just overwhelming at first. Just the number of appointments, practically also just the needs, us being in positions where we just felt totally incapable. And so like growing up in California, if you've ever been to Yosemite Mountain, I mean, it's just like this sheer cliff. And if you've ever stood down in the valley, it's just this most amazing picture, right? I mean, it's just beautiful. But if you were to ever to think, if somebody says, go and climb that thing, you're looking and you're sitting, there's just no way. I mean, this thing just looks like sheer rock. It's straight up. And when you're down in the valley, many times that's what it just feels like. And so when you have, for example, significant trials in your life, for many of your counselees, that's what they're looking at. It just looks like this mountain. There's so many questions, so many issues, so many problems, and they're just overwhelmed. And they're down in the valley and they're looking up and they're thinking, there's just no way I can get there. Right? It's just like this mountain of sadness. And that's how it was. It was just like the Lord sort of put Yosemite right in front of us. And so we're trying to figure out, how do we do ministry? How do we do life? What does it look like? It had so many implications. And praise the Lord that, of course, from God's perspective, he knows there's a well-worn path. There's a trail that leads up to the summit, right? And he knows how to help us get there. But in a lot of ways, you're just in the moment where many times maybe you're thrusted into a caregiving role. That's what it feels like. You're having to make all types of decisions, all types of